Take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 10. I want to focus this morning on verses 7 through 9. Now, in this early part of chapter 10, up to, I think it's around verse 22, this part of John chapter 10 is directly connected to what had just happened in chapter 9, where our Lord healed a blind man, a man that was born blind from birth, and he gave him sight. And because that man testified a good witness of Christ, because he wouldn't go along with what the Jews charged Christ with, charging him with sin, he said, I don't know if that man's a sinner or no, but one thing I do know is that where I was blind, now I see. And for that testimony, they cast him out of their community, their fellowship of believers with them in their community. And we saw that the Lord gave a parable. Because the Jews standing there, they said, are we blind also? Are you charging us with sin? And Christ gave them a parable to testify that he is the great shepherd of his sheep, that he has the authority to come and do what he just did. He goes to that sheepfold in Adam, that sheepfold of the world, where all those mixed people are, and the Lord himself, having the authority, comes and calls out his sheep to himself by grace and mercy. And you'll recall that the sheepfold, it's a structure that they would build for herdsmen, those with sheep, and it would have high walls so that no one could easily climb in or no sheep could jump out, and it had one main door, and the shepherd would bring his sheep in the night before. He could go find rest and not worry about the sheep and come back the next day. And the porter, the keeper of that door, would open the door to him and he would call in there, let's go. And he'd call out his sheep and they would recognize his voice and follow out after their shepherd. And Christ is declaring here, and he's being declared in the Word of God, that he is the great shepherd of his sheep. And he has the authority to call his sheep, the authority of God the Father, and he goes in and he leads out whom he will. He leads out his sheep in the time of his love for them and brings them to himself, gathering them into his flock, into his fold, into his sheepfold. And so all of this word here, it's testifying to us that this Jesus of Nazareth is the light of the world. He is the Savior. He is the great shepherd who saves his people by himself. He is the salvation that God has provided for his people. As we see that great verse in John 8, verse 12, when our Lord said to those gathered around him, Jews and those that believed him and those that didn't, and he said, I am the light of the world. There is no other salvation but the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I've titled this message, Christ the Door. Christ the Door. And the first part, we'll look at what our Savior does in bringing his people in through the door, to Christ, in through Christ, into the kingdom of God through our Lord and Savior. And then we'll see Christ the door, which takes us out of that death and destruction, that bondage and condemnation of the world. He's the door. He leads his people in and out. And so our Lord had just declared his authority as the great shepherd of the sheep. And in verse 3, John 10:3, he says, to him the porter openeth. And we saw that that's the authority of the Godhead, which gave the Son the authority to go in and call out his people, whom he will, to save them and wash them by his blood. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He leadeth them out. And then he gives this parable, right? He gave that parable in the first six verses. And we're told in verse 6, they didn't understand him. Those Jews, those Pharisees there that believed themselves to be righteous in themselves, having confidence in themselves, they didn't understand what Christ was saying. And so we read in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily. And when Christ says verily, verily, he's declaring that I who am the Amen of God, the very truth and word of God, say to you this faithful word. Those words are Amen, Amen. And so the great Amen, the Amen of God, is saying, this is a faithful word, hear it. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Whether you agree with it or not, Christ is the door of the sheep, by whom we enter into life, by whom we enter into the kingdom of God. He is the very life of his people. This is a truth. I am the door of the sheep. And what our Lord is saying there is that there is no other way to approach unto God, to come before holy God and be received and accepted of him, except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our entrance. He is our acceptance with holy God. You know, a man can't even see the kingdom of God except he be born again, except he be given spiritual life, except he be raised from the dead by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, and given life and faith, except the Lord do that for a sinner, we can't even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. And we enter into the kingdom of God through that blood and righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheep. And the sheep are those chosen of God before the foundation of the world. He chose out his own. Some were scattered among the Jews, and some scattered among the various nations of the Gentiles, but they're his sheep, and he promises, he gives his word that he shall gather them into his fold, and he shall bless them, care for them, he gives them life, washes them clean in his blood. And so, salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I bring this up because I remember when I was a young man and began to seek the Lord, but I was in great darkness and in confusion. And I remember I would go around telling everybody, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll save you. And one girl, a teenage girl, called me out on it. She said, saved from what? What does he save you from? And I found I couldn't articulate it. I couldn't tell her. I knew it had something to do with sin, but I didn't explain it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from the punishment of our sin. Those past, those sins present, those sins future, he puts it all away by the death of himself and washes us clean but with his blood and makes his people the very righteousness of God in him so that we are accepted and received of the Father. We're not shut out and cast out from him because Christ has brought us in and made us clean, made us every whit whole and perfect, righteous in him to stand before holy God, so that our God, he's not angry with his people anymore. Those who come to him in Christ, he's not angry with his people. He's not going to punish his people in Christ, because Christ, the Savior whom God provided for his people, has borne that punishment. He fulfilled all the will and the purpose of God for his people to be gracious and merciful to them. And so men in Christ are reconciled unto God by the Son. And now we have eternal life through the Savior and shall dwell with him forever in eternal bliss and enjoyment through our God by the shedding of his blood which he offered unto the Father. By Jesus Christ the door we enter in. Through Jesus Christ, the door, we enter in. And we're saved from that eternal death and punishment which is falling upon the inhabitants of this world who know not God, who are seeking to come to God through the works of the law, seeking to make a righteousness for themselves. But because of Christ, because of his atonement, because of his death, we are received, we are cleansed and received by the Father. By Jesus Christ, the door, we enter into life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll pick up in verse 19 and read down to verse 22 together. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That true way in which we enter in is through the body of Christ, through the blood of Christ. That's how we're received. That's the righteousness that we have of God in Christ. He is that true and faithful word to us, whereby we are made righteous by another, even Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, wait, can I come unto God through the law? No. No, that's how the Lord makes known to us that we are sinners. That's where we see that I'm a sinner, incapable of saving myself. I need the righteousness of God, which is provided for his people through the blood of Jesus Christ. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, both testify that this is righteousness. He has satisfied the law of God perfectly, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Both Jew and Gentile need the same righteousness, which alone is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness of his people. He is our acceptance with holy God, whereby we stand before him perfect and accepted in him, in the blood of Christ. So that Christ is made all to the believer. Christ is all. The Lord Jesus Christ has made all to the believer, so that in Christ we are delivered from every false way, every carnal way, every way that cannot save, all those dead ends, all those means by which man tries to approach unto God with his own righteousness, doing something for himself. Christ delivers his people from the false way, the carnal way, the way of flesh. And he blesses his people. He sanctifies his people and pours out the gift of his Holy Spirit on them, whereby they know his voice and hear his voice and believe the Son of God and are brought out of death into the kingdom of God through Christ the door. And the sheep, they hear Christ, they follow him, so that he is made unto us all the hope, all the confidence, all the peace and the joy that the believer has, all the confidence that God hears us, that God now receives us, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because of something I've done or something that man does, whether in religion or out of religion, under the law or out of the law. That's not salvation. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, when he was declaring the gospel in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he said, I want to be found in him. I want to be found in Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to be judged by what I've done perfectly or right in the law. I want to be found in Christ. I want to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, his faithfulness, what he's accomplished, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Meaning that's the Lord reveals to us what Christ has done for his sheep, for his people, through faith, the fruit of faith which is wrought in the children of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, verse 15, let us therefore, in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So that our God, if you are his, if you're his chosen child, he's going to reveal to you Christ. He's going to show you that Christ is all. Christ is all and in all to the believer. He's everything. And if you are chosen unto life and immortality by the Father, you shall enter into Christ. You shall enter into the door. You shall be called out by his voice, by his power, and be delivered from darkness into the light of Christ. You'll go through that door that God has given for his people, which is the life of his people. He said in John 10, verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And what he's saying is, all other ways of man are not salvation. There is one salvation. Christ is the light of the world. And all who follow him will not walk in darkness. They'll not walk in the ways of man, in the ways of this flesh, of trying to work up a righteousness for ourselves, of trying to quiet our guilty conscience by something we do in the law. No, we go to Christ. We confess our sin to Christ and ask him for mercy and forgiveness. He does that for his sheep. Now, Christ says in verse 9, all right, we've seen now that when Christ being the door, he brings us into the kingdom of God through his blood, through his righteousness. Well, that also means that we come out of something. We go in through Christ and we come out of something going into Christ. When a picture would be, we have winter coming up here in the northern hemisphere. So we have winter coming up. Well, when you're out there in the cold, blustery, harsh elements, and you go into a warm, cozy, comfortable house, well, you're going out of those harsh elements that kill and hurt, and you go into that warmth, into that peace and comfort of the home. Well, that's what Christ is. He is the door by whom we enter into life and come out of death, that coldness, that darkness. And so Christ says in verse 9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So by our entering into Christ, we are saved. We are brought into grace. We are received of God through the blood of Christ, and we've been delivered out of that false way. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Galatians 3:22. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We've got to be delivered from death. We're sinners. None of us can lay claim to a righteousness. None of us can boast of what we've done to be received of God. We all come short. And the Lord reveals to his people that we're sinners, needy sinners, desperate for his mercy and grace. We need that door. We need Christ. If we're to be saved, we must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by nature, by Adam, we're all sinners. We're all in that bondage and condemnation. We're all under eternal death and judgment. But God has provided a door. He's provided the way of salvation. He sent his Son He spared him not, but delivered him up for all his people, because none of his people are righteous in and of themselves. In John 3, verse 18, our Lord tells us that he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. And before the grace of God in Christ, we were kept under bondage. We were in death, spiritual death. We were in darkness. Men are dead in trespasses and sins. Men go the way of the world until the Lord has mercy on them and delivers them out of that false way, delivers us out of that death, that deadly way. But in the time of God's love for his sheep, that's when Christ comes and he washes us in his blood and he delivers us from bondage and from condemnation. We give him all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks for our salvation. We have nothing to boast in. Christ is all. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. Here he says those words again. Verily, verily. Amen, amen. Christ, the faithful amen of God, the truth, the true and living word of God, says, this is a faithful word, hear it. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He's entered through the door. He's come out of death into life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, those that are spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Our Lord, by his voice, by his word, gives life to his people, raising them from the dead and giving them life in him. So Christ delivers from the bondage of condemnation that we're all born into in Adam. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. We're all born under the bondage and condemnation of sin and the vileness of our nature. Christ saves his people from that. Romans 8:1, Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because in the time of God's love for his people, he sends his Spirit, who comes upon his people, giving them life, regenerating them, giving them life, making them born again. And he bears the fruits of righteousness in his people, one of which is the gift of faith, whereby they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear his voice and believe on him, so that we begin to walk by faith. Right? Before Christ came, we scrambled about in religion. We scrambled about under the law. We tried to do this and tried to do that to try and make peace between us and God. We knew God was holy. We know God is the judge. We see in creation that there is a God. There's no doubt that God is, and that he created the heavens and the earth. And we scrambled about to try and find him and try to please him and try to make a righteousness for ourselves. But we found ourselves to be in darkness. That's the way of the flesh. The way of the flesh, we all try to do it by nature. But when faith has come, when the Spirit comes and gives his people faith, we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me, a sinner. Lord, undeserving of your wrath and your condemnation, have mercy, Lord, on me. Wash me in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We begin to breathe by the Spirit, to cry out, Lord, save me. Help me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. And so we walk by faith, trusting, Lord, you've promised in your word that by your Son I am made righteous by his blood. Wash me and cleanse me and keep my heart, Lord. Keep my wandering heart. Keep me by your grace and mercy in Christ. Because it ain't by the flesh that we're going to save ourselves. It's not through the flesh, not through the works of righteousness, not through the works of religion. They cannot save. They show us what sinners we are. They show us our need of Christ. And by the grace of God, through the Spirit, Christ is made precious to the needy sinner. Made precious to us. Thanks be to God. And so our Savior, he delivers us from that condemnation, the bondage of condemnation. Another bondage that we're delivered out of by the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to legally bind ourselves. Well, men come and try to bind us, to put the yoke of the law upon us for righteousness. They put the law upon us to try and keep us in line, if you will. They seek to constrain you by the law. And what they do in that is they're turning men from the sufficiency of Christ. Because the flesh gets real nervous when you start saying, wait a minute, Christ, you're telling me Christ is all? That we're saved by the grace of God? That the sufficiency of Christ is sufficient for me? Don't I need the law for righteousness? Don't I need the law to keep me in line? And they turn you from the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more, your hope and confidence in Christ is moved over to what you are doing or not doing under the law. And that's where you begin to get fearful and worried and afraid, because you're looking at the flesh and you're walking by the flesh to try and keep and maintain a righteousness for yourself before God. And Paul warns us in Galatians 6, verse 12, he said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They're turning you back to the law for righteousness. Circumcision was a cutting of the flesh, and that's what men try to do with the law. Cut this out, cut that out by the flesh. You cut that out, you look to the law, you get that law, paste it on your wall, and you get a plaque, and you get a big stone out there in your front lawn, and everywhere you go, you keep looking to the law for righteousness to keep you in line, because Christ isn't sufficient for them. The grace and the power and the glory of our Savior isn't sufficient to keep his people. He delivered his people from death. Is he not able by his Spirit and his power to guide and lead and keep his people? Yes, he is. He teaches his people. He teaches his people, and he gives them the Spirit whereby we are led of our Lord. And so men will constrain, they seek to constrain us by the flesh, because they don't understand the liberty that we have in Christ. Not liberty to go and sin and do as we please, but we're delivered from that yoke and that fear of bondage and death. We're delivered from that in Christ. And so it says, only lest, Paul said, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Because as soon as you say, my hope and confidence is all in the Lord Jesus Christ, religious people tend to get very suspicious of you. Oh, you're one of those. You think you could just go and do whatever you want? No. No. I'm not looking to my righteousness as a cloak for unrighteousness. I trust the Lord. I trust him to keep me. And he teaches me. And through his wisdom, he corrects me and turns me out of the way of falsehood and the way of lies. He keeps me. He's my Savior. He's sufficient for all. So the law is good if a man use it lawfully, right? The law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, Paul said that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And in Christ Jesus, every sheep, every child of God has kept the law perfectly. That's why God receives us. That's why we stand before God, before his throne, faultless. Faultless before the throne of God in Christ Jesus, our righteousness. You try and come to God in the law, you're going to be full of holes and a shoddy garment that cannot cover your nakedness. And you'll see in that day that law righteousness is insufficient to save. It's insufficient to cover us. But the blood of Christ will not miss a spot. You'll be perfect, cleansed, whole in Christ. And so he's our righteousness not the law, and he teaches us and keeps us. As he says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free. And Peter even testified to that truth, saying, you want to turn these Gentile believers back to the law, but we nor our fathers, we couldn't bear that burden. What makes you think that we're going to bear it now? We can't bear that, but Christ is the Savior of his people. And so the scriptures teach, well, so we see that. So we're delivered from condemnation. We're delivered from the yoke of the law, being delivered into the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures teach that believers shall have trouble, but that they'll be delivered out of it. Now, all men have trouble. Everybody has trouble, right? Every one of us has our car break down from time to time, and at the most inconvenient time, and we have trouble at work, and trouble at home, trouble with family members, and trouble with friends and neighbors, and there's always various difficulties that we all have. Everybody has those things, but Christ is the door who delivers his people out of the trouble. And what do I mean by that? Because we all have trouble. So how does Christ, being the door, deliver his people out of trouble and into peace? Well, it's because he keeps his people from being overwhelmed by it and succumbing to it, so that we turn from the Lord because we're afraid and we try to agree with it. The Lord delivers us from that. He delivers us from being afraid and trusting in what we could do to make a situation right, and trusting him, so that we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he's faithful and able to keep us and to keep our hearts in him. We see that fear of death over in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, go to verse 14 and verse 15. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so Christ is the one who delivers us out of the fear of death, meaning that we're delivered from trying to do something to please God and to earn his favor and to do something that merits us some favor or peace with God. That's fear, because there always comes a time when we are made to see how we stumble and come short of the glory of God, and how we're not pleasing God in our works. We're always brought to see that we haven't kept our hearts and kept ourselves faithful before him. And so if that's your hope, you're afraid to die, because you're always wondering, have I done enough? Did I do enough to make myself righteous? Did I do enough to please God? And trusting that, you're never going to be confident to die, because those things cannot save. So Christ delivers us from fear of death. And then we also see that Christ is the door out of the grave. We don't fear death also because we don't fear the grave, because we know that Christ shall raise up his people out of the grave. In John 11:25, Christ said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Paul adds to that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so Christ is the door out of all the believer's bondage, all our bondage. He delivers us from the bondage of condemnation. He delivers us from the bondage of legalism and trusting in the law. He delivers us from the bondage of trouble and the fear of trouble and being turned to try and fix our troubles and make things right. He delivers his people out of the bondage of the grave. Christ is made all to his people. He's the door by whom we go out. We go out of these things. We're delivered from the way of the flesh and the things that trouble the flesh and trying to make things right in the flesh. We come out of those and enter into the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we enter into the sheepfold. That's how we're brought into the kingdom of God. It's through Jesus Christ. He is our access unto God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And so Christ is the door into life, because he is the very life of his people. All who enter in through Christ, the door, have life, have eternal life. And he gives us this promise there in John 10, verse 9. He gives us two promises, saying there, "All who enter in shall be saved." All who enter in through Christ shall be saved, and they shall find pasture. Your Lord will feed his people with the gospel, blessing them, comforting their hearts, revealing to them once again, again and again, who the bread of heaven is. And they are sufficed with him and sustained by him. Their thirst is quenched, their hunger is filled, they're satisfied with Christ, because Christ is all. This is the word he says then to any man, "By me, if any man enter in." If you would have eternal life, I don't care if you've been in religion for 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years, doesn't matter how long you've been in religion, religion doesn't save. The Lord Jesus Christ saves his people. And he says, if any man would have life and be delivered out of death, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He, our God, turns the hearts of his people to Christ, to look to him and to trust him and to believe on him for all our salvation. He is the door. And all who look to him, all who believe him, all who need him and come to him saying, "Lord, have mercy on me," they shall have life. They shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts, that he help you to hear the voice of Christ, and that you follow him. Amen.